From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Morning, Mike.
Yeah, reviewing yourself, interesting take on life.
But firstly, we need more days this week. Bugger that four-day week. We need a six-day week this week because it's so good. Yes, now the Reserve Bank has... We're going to talk about the RAFIMP. The RAFIMP, this is the new one. This is the review and assessment of the formulation and implementation of monetary policy. Gosh, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Effectively a report card. They are evaluating monetary policy developments from 2017 to mid-2022, assessing whether the Reserve Bank Monetary Policy Committee met their obligations as set out in the remit and charter. Weighty stuff. Look, firstly, I think it's fair. I think it's reasonable to ask questions about the objectivity of the report, given that effectively the Reserve Bank is reviewing itself. I don't think that should be unexpected, that is a response. There is a peer review process, Mike, so the Reserve Bank is clearly aware of those potential questions. There's a professor at the Australian National Uni and a former deputy governor of the Bank of China. They've both done a peer review process. I'm not sure how that appointment process, how they got to do that, but this aside, that aside, it is an important and useful exercise. So how did the Reserve Bank mark itself? Well, firstly, it is a weighty 122 pages. I haven't gone through them all in detail. I have that rare pleasure to look forward to over the weekend, but there are some key lessons learnt and reported, and some do stand out. Mike, the funding for lending program could have been designed with more flexibility. There you go. In short, it needed an early termination clause. I mean, it's still going. At the same time as we're exactly pouring over bank net interest margins, the banks are still accessing funds at the official cash rate, and they're going to do that for another month. It doesn't stop until early December. Second one, monetary policy should have been tightened earlier. Enough said, although they do, hindsight, the word hindsight is used when they're talking about that, but there we go. Alternative monetary policy tools provided further stimulus and contributed to higher than otherwise economic activities. What they do say, though, it was hard to quantify the benefits of that, but it was really easy to look at the mark-to-market costs of the bond purchases under the LSAP, so which is $9 billion, by the way. That was easy to measure. And so they said there's a little bit of, those two things don't sort of add up. Look, Mike, the nature of this report in terms of it being a self-assessment means that at least on initial observation, did you expect to see anything else? This is correct. Probably what we expected to see. I'll make one last comment, though. There does appear to be a lot of references in here to the Russia-Ukraine conflict. I just think we need to be careful about the context here, Mike. That Russia-Ukraine conflict started in February 22. While it has obviously been pretty important since then, inflation genie was well out of the bottle before February 2022. To the end of March quarter, annual inflation was 6.9%. It was not the cause of the inflation problem. It was already well on the way prior to that, so we just need to be careful about that.
Well done. Biden's having a good week.
I thought I'd woken up in an alternate universe this morning. I flicked the old phone to the markets page and was astounded. The US markets are stratospherically higher, quite amazing. Now, all you tech investors out there waiting, eagerly awaiting these numbers, sit down, because the NASDAQ is 6.1% higher. That is not a monthly move. That is an overnight move. At one stage, the S&P 500 was up 5%. It's now up 4.7%. These are massive daily moves. The market obviously hasn't finished trading yet, so we'll still see what happens over the course of the rest of the trading session. But look, what has happened? There are two key pieces of information that are driving market direction at the moment, inflation data and labour market numbers. We had US CPI released overnight, and who would have thought we would be cheering? No, not cheering. Who would have thought we'd be giving a standing ovation to a 7.7% annual US inflation number? But we are, because we expected it to be 7.9% for the month, 0.4% outcome, 0.6% expected. Core CPI, so exclude food and energy, also decelerated by more than expected. And the suggestion here is that we've seen the top, the peak of inflation. So we now cue the inevitable expectation of the pivot. The Fed takes the pressure off the monetary policy pedal. I'm not convinced yet, Mike.
No.
But remember, markets are always forward-looking. They anticipate stuff. So we've seen the biggest moves in share markets in over 2 years, and also a massive rally, which means lower in this case, a massive rally in US interest rates. So treasuries, 10-year treasuries down about 0.25%. Heady stuff leading into the weekend, Mike.
I reckon. What are the other numbers?
Well, here we go. I mean, just for the record, the NASDAQ's up 628 points at the moment. just a smidgen under 11,000. The Dow Jones, I'm going to say it's up 1,000 points. It's come back a bit. It's only up 950. 33,452. That's just under 3%. And as I look at the S&P 500, 4.6% up, 3919. Overnight, the FTSE 100 gained 1.08%, 7375. And of course, the Nikkei Asia hadn't seen this rally yet. So the Nikkei was down about 1%, 27446. Shanghai Composite down 0.39%, 3036. And in Australasia, the ASX 200 lost 0.5% yesterday, 6964. And the NZX 50 lost 0.46%, 11,091. They will both obviously be higher today. Kiwi US has gone up over 60 cents, 0.6008. Against the Aussie, 0.9117, 0.5904 euro, 0.5144 pounds, 85.19 yen. Gold, $1,749.95. Brent crude, $93.93.
Yeah, have a good weekend, mate. JMIWealth.co.nz. Andrew Kelleher.